Hey, Radio Nonsense listeners, if your grotty bleaters, sorry, grown-ups, want to help support this podcast, then they can sign you up to the Linda Edition via Apple Podcasts or Acast Plus. The Linda Edition is a version of this very show where adverts appear as often as Linda does, which is never. Yes, including this annoying advert at the beginning. You'll also get the podcast a whole day earlier than everyone else, and you never know, if enough people sign up, there might be bonus content too. Get those grotty bleaters to hit the button on Apple Podcasts or find the confusing link in the podcast blurb to do it on Acast Plus. Linda? You hear that, Linda? You have your own edition of the show, Linda. Ugh. You are listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents... Radio Nonsense. Hello and welcome to Radio Nonsense, the official Comedy Club for Kids podcast that's suitable for all ages from... to... and everything in between. I'm Tiernan and hey listeners, listen to this. Actually, you're... already listening, so me telling you to listen is probably really annoying, isn't it? It's like when Pickleface Joneses, sorry, I mean grown-ups, when they tell you to put your shoes on, and you're already putting your shoes on, and so you say, I'm already putting my shoes on, they go, well, put your shoes on, and what they mean is, can you put them on quicker? But you know, if you put your shoes on any quicker, you might accidentally put them on wrong, like on the wrong feet, or have one on your hand and one on your head, and then when you walk outside, your feet really hurt, and your head and hands smell of cheese, so you're going to put them on in the time it takes you. So, yes, what I mean to say is just keep doing what you're already doing, listeners, because I found a seashell the other day. Now, I know that doesn't sound very remarkable. I'm sure if you live near the sea or in the sea or you are a hermit crab, then you probably find seashells all the time. But I found this, and you know when you put your ear to a seashell, you can hear the sea. Well, this is a little bit different. It's very exciting. Oh, actually, Linda... Linda, do you want to listen to this, Linda? No, I thought not, but it was worth a try. OK, so, listeners, I'm going to put the seashell right up to the podcast microphone and check this out. Wow, right? I've never heard a seashell do that before. Does that mean the sea is funky? Or is there a teeny tiny band inside the shell? I have no idea, but it is very exciting. And that is not the only music I've heard coming from the shell. Yesterday it was punk rock, the day before it was classical music. It is really amazing. We'll have a little listen again after I've looked in the mailbag for this week. So this week, thanks to Angry Stuart Pilkington for giving this show a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. They're in the US and... hang on, I'm sure I recognise that name. What does the message say? Me angry. Hang on. Angry Stuart Pilkington... I told you to stop messaging the show and sending in questions. So annoying, but I'm very happy you've moved to America, I suppose. Oh, that's made me really angry. Right, so calm me down. I'm going to check out the shell again. Ah, that was perfect. Thanks, Shell. I might call it Shelly, actually. That's a good name for a shell, right? Yeah, pretty good. Shelly, check me out, being all original and everything. Shelly the Shell. Next, thanks to Sandy Squirrel in Australia for posting... well, they gave a nice review and then they've posted what I think is an alternate Bob the Builder rhyme at the same time as saying nice things about the show. So they've put... Bob the Builder, demon emoji face, can he fix it? Bob the Builder, demon emoji face, no he can't, and he doesn't pay his taxes, and he is a lazy slob, what a shame. Gosh, is this the Bob the Builder we all know and love, or is this Bob the Builder demon face emoji, who's like an evil version of Bob the Builder from somewhere in the multiverse? If it's the second one, I mean, what if it's the first one? That's quite sad. I thought he was quite a nice guy. He's always helping people in Wales. But if you're listening and need a builder, maybe don't hire Bob the Builder demon face emoji. He sounds terrible. I'd probably be put off by the demon face, to be honest. And then lastly, thanks to Marcy, who is 1,500 cat years old, which I think in human years, that's about minus 2.5. Cats age very, very quickly. So anyway, they put this on the Spotify Q&A, and this is a very, very excellent joke. What is a snowman's least favourite day? Sunday! Yeah, I bet it is. Ugh, and every single week there's one of those. That's got to be awful for snowmen. I mean, it's just got to be miserable being a snowman anyway, because everyone's like, hey, the weather's beautiful, come out and play. And they'll have to be like, no, I have to stay at home sitting in the freezer again. Ugh. Someone really needs to build a freezer on wheels just to help them, I reckon. Right, now let's have a little listen to the shell again. Well, that was weird. Not sure I like that, actually. Well, look, listeners, if you have a style of music you need to tell me about or a question that you really need to have answered, then please do get your pickle-faced Joneses, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And also, if they fancy supporting this show, they can, for a very small fee, sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition of the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or Acast Plus. Please also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk for all of our live shows. And very important, if you haven't yet entered the Beasts of Knobbly Bottom competition from a few weeks ago, where you can win a book bundle of both of Emily Jane Clark's award-nominated books, very, very funny kids' books, then you have only 1 week left to email me any ideas that you have for funny monster animals, and the top three will get a bundle of both books. The last date to do this is April the 17th, but again, it is only for you lot in the UK and Ireland, so sorry to everyone else in the world and the universe and the sea. Well, I'm going to relax and listen to music on my new Shelly device. While I do that, you listen to this most importantest bit. I am very pleased to welcome to Radio Nonsense the amazing James Nkoyizi, a.k.a. James, who always drops his keys down drains, a.k.a. JJ Knox, owner of the world's biggest collection of vegetable stocks, or as all of our owl listeners know you, hoo-hoo, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But, of course, James, you are well known for your superhuman ability to know exactly when someone has trapped wind, for your successful toy line of anti-soft toys where you just paint sad faces on rocks, and, most famously, for your campaign to make different difficulties of easy peelers so that it's more of a challenge. James, it's so nice to have you on the show. How are you doing?
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Wow. Oh, the owl listeners are going to be so pleased. That is lovely. That is lovely.
Well, look, Tiernan, it's always nice to take a break from painting those sad faces on those rocks. You know, it's sometimes they look back at you and they say, "I'm not sad enough. Can you make me sadder?" And that's, you know, I'm doing all my best to get that done, but then it just makes me feel even sadder. So I've just spent the morning tapping into that kind of sadness and feeling you know, joyful but sad, which is the natural state of anyone trying to do a good owl. And so it's lovely to be here. It's what I'm trying to say, mate. It's lovely to be here.
I'm so pleased that you could do it. I mean, I have to ask, how do you make a sad face more sad? What are your tips if somebody is listening and they're thinking, I've made a sad face, but this isn't maybe sad enough? Is it a frowny eyes? Do you make the mouth sadder? Do you just sort of a single tear? What's your? I mean, I know you don't want to give away your artist secrets.
No, I tend to go with the color blue. So if you know, even if it's smiling, even if it's a smiley face, I find if you just add a little bit of blue to the face, then people go, "Oh, that's a bit sadder than I thought that would be." You know, you've got to be careful though, because if you've got some green already in the face, you know, maybe they've got a bit of booger coming out of their nose or some dust. Now it can go yellow, and yellow, of course, is very happy. So you've just got to, you know, when you're adding colors, you've just got to be really difficult.
That is very hard. And it's also, I mean, you make it clear, you're right, if blue faces do automatically look a bit sad. And that's why a lot of fish just look miserable, even when they're having the best time of their lives.
And they're wet. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think what we underestimate about fish is that, you know, it's not easy being damp all the time. You know how you know when you're squelchy and you've come in out of the rain and you're like, "Oh, I'm really upset," and people are like, "Why are you upset?" And I go, I think fundamentally it's because I'm wet right now. Well, fish are like that all the time. And I think that's often why they look so sad.
That's miserable. Do you know, I never thought about that, that a fish can never just get into a really warm towel.
No.
Like that, you know, that's like a one of the best things that we as human beings get to do.
Yeah.
Fish never, ever get to. They could cuddle up with a coral. It's not the same. It's still wet.
Yeah, it's still wet. Everything's still wet. And, you know, sometimes that's how my dad used to fish back in the Pacific. He would actually just stand there with a warm towel. And just call out and say, "Ooh, it's nice and dry here. Ooh, who wants a snuggle?" And the fish would just jump into.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way of fishing I think I've ever heard of. I think that's like a sort of comfort fishing, because the fish are then like, "Please catch me.
Yeah.
I need some comfort in my life." And then what's your dad do? Give him a hot chocolate and.
Yeah, you know, it's and he'd set them up on a little chair on the beach, you know, and make sure that they had an umbrella above the chair so they didn't get dried out. And
that's nice.
Yeah, because you got to make sure they're comfortable and then make sure that they still had water. He'd bring them a nice big glass of water with a little slice of pineapple. An umbrella over the drink as well, so that they're warm and snuggly, but they, you know, they don't get dehydrated. It's very important for fish to get dehydrated. I think we also forget that. It's that middle ground between being too wet and being dehydrated.
It's a brilliant thing. And also I like, because your dad's done the clever thing there of the umbrella over the water in the, like those little umbrellas that go in glasses.
Mm.
They're like anti-umbrellas, because normally you use umbrellas to stop getting like liquid on you, but these umbrellas go over the liquid as if to say, "I'm going to stop this liquid getting dry." And I always think that's quite, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's the kind of amazing science that comes often late at night in those buildings that serve those umbrellas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of amazing science out there. Wow, your dad sounds great. I mean, you know, yeah, I think everything you're doing with these sad rocks, you know, I think I know obviously you've had a long day painting these faces. It makes you feel sad, but there are too many very happy toys out there. And I think that sometimes you look at like a row of soft toys and you think you can't all be happy. Yeah, you know, often like some kid will almost squish you to death while they're trying to just hug them so tight. It's like, that can't be that comfortable. Often you're thrown around a room. Whereas your sad rocks are like, they're quite, you know, I like the reality of them. I'm just like, well, I'm a rock. This isn't great.
Well, I think it's also nice to have someone there to share when you know, when you feel sad and you're feeling down and you're looking at your soft toys. And they're all just like, "Let's have some fun." You're like, "I don't feel like having fun." It's just nice to, it's like, if you just keep scanning your toys, if there's just a rock there and that rock looks sad and you know that you can be sad and the rock can be sad and you can just be sad together.
Yes, yes. I mean, we should just clarify as well, we don't mean the rock Dwayne Johnson, because I don't think he's ever sad, but we do mean your sad rock.
No. Well, he's
very clear about this.
Yes, no, he's my cousin, so he's often fishing with Dad.
Right.
Amazing fisherman. He sings to the fish.
Is that right?
Stands there and he's so big. He's got about four towels that he's holding, and then just sings to the fish. You know, "Won't you come swim in my towel? You're welcome." And it's amazing to watch.
That is incredible. I just assumed he's so huge. I just assumed he'd just scoop the water and out would be sort of 400 fish.
Well, that's why he got the nickname The Rock, because the rest of the family's quite short and they couldn't see his face. So they assumed he must be sad up there. And so they say, "Oh, he is a rock. He is sad." But it turned out he's very happy. But the nickname stuck.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just out of interest, what do you think the reason he got so big was? Did he eat all his vegetables, or is it just I don't know? Just He's got one of those little sort of jacks that you can use on car tires for his legs, or what's he done there?
No, he's very, he does eat a lot of vegetables. You know, he makes sure, he always makes sure he eats his vegetables and drinks his water. That's a big one too. He actually, and this is going to sound very strange, he would clean his room from a very early age. That was his cardio workout, you know. A lot of I think a lot of people, I mean, I remember when I was a kid and you go, I don't want to clean my room. But Dwayne, the Rock, he would always look at cleaning his room as a workout, you know. Wow. Any chore they set him, they, you know, why don't you tidy this, that, he was like, all right. And he put his little, you know, sweatband on. And he'd go, I'm gonna work out, and we'd all be confused. We're like, I thought he was told to go clean, and that he'd be, you know, singing along and cleaning up. And that's and before we knew it, he was massive.
Wow. You see, that's my fear would be that for him cleaning when he was little, cleaning would be cleaning, but then as he got bigger, it'd be sort of flinging a cupboard out of the window, because when you're that big, I assume that you just accidentally fling stuff everywhere.
Well, that was the clever thing, because then he got so big that we couldn't ask him to clean because
it's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. So we were like, oh, why don't you go and do some wrestling instead,
right,
to get the energy out. But he had to get big enough first, because you can't, you know, it can be quite dangerous to wrestle if you're too small. So, you know, that was the progression, cleaning your room to cleaning the ring. And even then, if you've ever watched him wrestle, that's essentially what he's doing. He goes into a ring. There's other people there. He's like, we need to clean this ring. And then that's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lesson there. I'm not tall at all. And I worry this is because I did not clean my room really ever. I don't think I ever. I think it gained sort of new geological layers as I got older. You know, there was one time when we sort of started to clean, and I found prehistoric creatures. I found a really old friend that had come for a sleepover and been missing for years. So, but that must be why I just haven't got as big as the Rock. Are you a regular room cleaner?
I do still clean. I'm still cleaning the room. It's part of actually what led me into painting rocks is I was cleaning one morning, and I just found this collection of rocks, and I was what are you doing here behind my jeans in the cupboard? And you know, in the way that rocks can do, they seem to be quite sad, and I thought, well, not everyone's going to realize how sad these rocks are, so I just made sure that they had some faces on them, which articulated that how sad they are, showed that they're very sad rocks.
Can I ask why there were rocks behind your jeans? I can't really tell from our conversation. Are you living right now on a cliff edge? Are you living right now in a quarry? What's your...
No, I live in a tree. That was the strangest part.
That is a surprise then, yeah. Real surprise. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, have some owls played some tricks on me? You know, what are these rocks in fact doing here? Are they actually acorns playing a prank? Because, but no, they were rocks. And to this day, I'm still not sure how they managed to climb. Did they fall? You know, but I knew they were sad. I made sure that everyone could be aware how sad these rocks are.
I do, you know, James, I don't want to question your expertise and your knowledge here. And forgive me if this sounds perhaps sort of a bit patronizing, but they weren't in a nest, were they, these rocks?
No. They had a bed. They had a little bed of sticks and and some leaves in there as well. They seem to just be quite sad. You know, you could sense that they really wanted to fly, if anything.
Right.
But no.
Were they all sort of about the same size and kind of oval shaped?
I mean, they were like oval. I mean, I would say they were more round than
Right.
oval.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah.
there's some, some had freckles,
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
some didn't. But there's definitely a strong sense that they were quite sad rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. That's yeah, no, definitely sounds like rocks to me. These rocks haven't hatched, have they? They haven't hatched since you've
No, I didn't
painted
get. I
them.
mean, no. I mean, it was actually really sad. I came home a few weeks later, and they'd just been sitting there on the windowsill being sad. And look, I don't know if we can mention this in front of people, but they'd just broken.
Wow,
I was quite upset because I was, I was like, well. I thought I had them in sunshine. Sunshine can make rocks happy. I was asking everyone, what happened? What happened? They like, we don't know. And
yeah.
so they were just, just bits of rock just
Yeah.
on the windowsill.
This can, I mean, so it can happen. I know probably a lot of our listeners, they would have bought rocks in packets of six, sometimes in packets of 12. You think they're just going to be sad rocks, and next thing you know, they're a breakfast, or next thing you know, they're broken, and there's a met. Like, it's not rocks. I don't know what rocks are playing at. You think you know how they are, and then they're something else completely.
Well, there were a couple of telltale signs. There were, I don't want to cast suspicion on any group, but there were a couple of little feathers there. And
Right.
I asked some of the owls. I was like, "Hoo hoo hoo hoo," and they were like, "Hoo hoo 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 hoo," and I was like, "That is inappropriate language
Yeah,
for a
no, it's
very simple
very much.
question." So, I think, but I think that's a natural state. A lot of the rocks that I try to paint do inevitably crack. Sometimes I wonder, is it me? Am I making these rocks,
Yeah,
letting them
but
express too much?
I think it's why they become such a popular toy for kids. They get these rocks and they know at some point they're going to crack. It's what creates that kind of excitement.
And one
I
of
think,
the
yeah.
things around the trees that I live is that once a year there's all these kids going on a rock hunt,
Yes,
and
yes.
so I try and make sure that there's some good rocks out there for them with sad faces, so that, if they don't find the rock they're looking for, they'll find a rock which will help them express how sad they are.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful thing, James. It's great. I can't imagine how excited the kids are going to be for the rock hunt this year, for the annual rock hunt. We're speaking just before the rock hunt happens, actually. So I think they're going to be pretty excited. Well, listen, thank you for taking time out of painting sad faces on rocks to chat. I've got a question that I think you are the man that's going to be able to answer it. I think you're the expert that can deal with this. Before I ask you, I'm afraid I do have two admin questions. How do you feel about admin questions?
Look, I'm a supporter of both admin and ad women questions as well.
Wow, that's great. That's great. That's good. Fantastic. Well, these are admin questions. I don't think we've got any ad women questions,
That's
which
all
is
right.
quite bad, actually. But no, it's bad. Maybe I should add. So you're right. I've never thought about
Well,
that before.
I've always looked at them as ad people questions, you know?
Yes. That's better. These are, I would say these are ad people questions, so in which case. The first one, both of these questions are quite difficult. I think the first one's potentially easier than the second one, but see how you go. The first one, James, is quite simply, what is this?
That's a great question. And we actually have a saying in the Pacific Islands, which is, "It is what it is."
Oh, that's nice.
And
That's good,
I
yeah.
think if you ever find yourself going, "What is this?" Especially very like, "What is this?" It's always good to take a nice big breath and remind yourself, "It is what it is."
That's good. That is good, but I still don't know what it is. I just know it is what it is. but I don't know what that
and
is.
And that's how you know what it is. You know, sometimes you're like, what is this? Now, if you're asking, what is this? And now, what is this? They'd be going, what is this? You know, what do you think it is often a good way to look at it.
Right. But then you think, what is this? But it is what it is. So I suppose that is what it is, even if I don't know what it is.
And sometimes that can lead you to, is this a thing? And that's a very profound question. You know, is this a thing?
Yeah. I'm not sure anymore. I have to be honest. You've made me really question it. Maybe it's nothing at all.
I often find that fish ask that question a lot when they're lying on a chair in the beach. You know, what is this? And then they take a nice big breath and they're like, it is what it is. And then they look around and look up at the umbrella and go, is this a thing? And then they just have a nice glass of water and enjoy it. Yeah, I think the point is sometimes you can question things and sometimes you can go along with them.
I'm going to take your advice on this. I'm just going to go along with whatever this is then and have a glass of water, I think, probably. Yeah. Hope it's not dangerous. Well, thank you, James. Thank you. That was very helpful. Very helpful indeed. The second question look, if you need to take your time on this, I understand. This is quite tricky, I think, but it's very important that I ask it. Would you rather, James, that an orchestra followed you everywhere playing sinister music, or a film director followed you everywhere telling everyone how to act around you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's Hitchcock's conundrum. I've heard of this before.
That's what it's known as. Yeah.
Look, so on the one hand, if I'm walking around, then behind me I might hear or boom, boom, because I think as comedians sometimes we're used to, you know, I don't know when you were growing up, but sometimes you'd hear a tuba, but you know, you'd be walking around, you hear boom. Or some kettle drums just going and a little triangle ding. But sinister music, so you know, violins going in the background,
lots of violins, always lots of string sections,
or like you know, a little bit of woodwork, just you're like, what is that? Worse is just having a director walking around behind you telling everyone else.
Yeah, so not telling you. So they'd be going like, you need to be happier. You need to get in the way. You need to be sad. But not you. They wouldn't direct you. They'd be very happy with your performance.
I think we've all got an auntie like that. I think everyone's got an auntie. You're like, stop. Please stop telling everyone what to do. They're like, you don't worry about anything. You're perfect. You're doing great. Be happier. You put that badger down. And you know, it's I think maybe if you're not too worried about sinister music, because sinister music doesn't always mean something sinister is going to happen. Sinister music sometimes means an unexpected surprise is about to take place.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is probably the bonus of if it's sinister, if it's really sinister, like na 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 na, and then actually it isn't sinister. What's going on isn't it could be quite a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Actually, everything's all right. It's not too bad.
And you could always just add a really cool beat to the sinister music.
Right.
You know, it's a and that's actually how our other cousin from Cousin Rock, Cousin Stormzy, he got
a lot of cousins.
Well, you know, mainly nature based.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's how he got his start. Also an amazing fisherman. You know,
right? I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. What's his technique? What? How does he?
He sticks his head underwater and sort of, and just tells them very gently about how comfortable it is up on the beach.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very handy. That's very handy. That's a lot of fish. Your family are catching a lot of fish. I think it's very impressive.
Well, they own a hotel. And right. So that's also part of it. It's all, in the end, it's
four.
All.
Is the hotel four fish? Or
four
is it
fish. Four? It's a fish. Yeah, it's, right, a, right. It's a fish right. Hotel.
Yeah. I've heard about those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I wanted to ask as well, you know, the by putting a beat under sinister music, is that where people in scary stories are going wrong? Do you think if something scary was happening and you heard that sinister music, just by sort of doing a beat, would it fix it pretty quickly?
Do you know, I find it does. I find if I'm watching a film and things get a little scary, if I just like quietly start making my own beat to it. So, you know, if there's a scary witch or something coming out and I'm just quietly going, I don't feel as scared anymore.
Yeah.
And if, you know, there's the main characters are walking along and then it cuts to the person following them and they're, you know, and it looks quite scary and you sort of see a hand reaching out. If when the scary person with the hands reaching out, I just go boom, boom. Suddenly, you know, maybe they're not reaching out to hurt them. They're reaching out to tap them on the shoulder and go, hey, here's a cool beat.
Yes. See, I'm fully certain that, say, were you being chased by a werewolf or a vampire, you drop a cool beat, they're going to have to dance. It's impossible not to.
Absolutely.
You're suddenly going to be saved.
Well, that's why vampires are often dressed so well. It's because they're always ready to hit the dance floor.
Yes, I have heard that. I have heard that. Yeah, that makes sense. It's also why they're generally only up at night, isn't it? Because they like to go partying, dancing all the time.
And it's the same with werewolves, you know, when the moon is full, that coat is actually amazing for breakdancing.
Yes, I bet, because you can really slide around on the floor. And of course, you know, what most people don't realize, I think, is when they howl, it's like our way of going, tune. It's like, it's
exactly
what they do, and they love. Yeah. They love the beat.
Often when a werewolf's howling, you know, I only speak a little bit of werewolf, but they're often, what they're yelling out is, drop the beat.
Yes. Yeah. 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 They're much, you know, people really have got the wrong idea about a lot of those creatures, I think, which is a real shame. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I think you're going for the music rather than the film director.
I think I go for the music. Sometimes you don't need to hear people giving directions. You just need some good music and a sick beat.
I like that. I think the only time I think the film director could be good is if people around you were being annoying. Like sometimes I get annoyed when it's very busy and you have to like really dodge past people. And if you had a film director who could move them all out of the way, you over there. You know, you stand in this bit, that could be quite handy, I think.
Yeah, if they've got a megaphone.
I think they'd have to have a cap and a megaphone. I think
that's essential. I mean, I don't think they're a director if they don't have a cap and a megaphone.
I think that's very true. And probably a chair with their name on it. I think
absolutely.
You have to have,
And a random person bringing them coffee.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, which they'd probably have to shout at someone around you to do, but I think that would be
it.
I don't think people would mind, because then they're like, I'm working with this director, so it would be quite cool. Well, I think, you know, I think you've looked at all the options. I think you've made a very sensible choice there, James, and, you know, thank you for taking that question very seriously. It is very important that I asked it, so thank you. The main question, though, here's the big question. This has been sent in from Thomas. I don't know anything about Thomas other than that he's Thomas. He hasn't said his age, where he's from. He's just the one and only Thomas.
He's an enigma,
I think. Yes, an enigma called Thomas. Yeah, he is the one confusing, mysterious Thomas, and we know nothing more about him other than that he has asked this question. And this question is, I've not seen a question like it before. I don't really know how we will answer it. But if you need me to, I mean, I can tell it to you, and then maybe I need to spell it out to you. I don't know how you want to deal with this. Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready for Thomas's question.
You're ready. Okay. Thomas's question is, Miseg? That's it.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I might need that spell.
Yeah. So it's M-E A S E G.
I wasn't expecting that first A.
No, me either. Well, I mean, maybe I'm not saying it right. Maybe it's Miaseg. Like, but then you say Miseg. Measles, like,
no, yeah.
Miseg, yeah. Miseg.
Well, that's, I mean, that is profound.
It's beautiful, yeah.
You know, it's Miseg. I think, Thomas, we all feel sag sometimes, you know, where you're so sad that you just start to sag physically. You're drooping, you know, your arms are hanging low. You don't even feel like you're walking around. It's more like you're falling in a general direction. And your parents will be like, what's wrong? You're like, me sag. I mean, that's one interpretation. The other, of course, could be that you've caught Miseg, goes around.
Made me wonder, because it is spelt not that different to measles. It goes, yeah. Is it Miseg? Maybe it is either I can't work out if it's a worse version of measles, so he's just maybe covered in one giant spot, or perhaps he's got a lesser version of measles and he's just got a couple of freckles. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, again, it's maybe the spots are drooping. It's got drooping spots.
Mm. Oh, whoa. That's vicious. Yeah.
Yeah. The hard news, Thomas, is there is no cure. Unfortunately, right. you've just got to let it play its
right,
course.
That's very sad. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You've got to be patient.
Very bad news for Thomas.
You've got to be patient, Thomas. You know, sometimes there is no cure for being sick, and you've just got to ride it out and make sure that you've got a good glass of water and a warm chair and an umbrella. And
yes,
you know.
Assuming here that Thomas is a fish, or are you just?
No, not at all. I would never assume that fish could write.
Sure, of course. Yeah, of course.
Unless the message is in Morse code, in which case that's entirely plausible.
I mean, it could be why the message is, you know, we don't know what message a fish was trying to send, and the message they did send was Miseg, you know.
Well, I think the Miseg could be confusing, but if they can write Thomas, it's probably not a fish using Morse code.
Yes.
I think the Miseg could, you know, you might go, oh, this could be fish Morse code, but the Thomas part, you know, although no last name, very typical for a fish. So,
right, sure, yeah. Yeah, it's a mystery. I mean, the other thing I suppose we should just check is that, you know, it's written all as one word, Miseg, but it could be Miaseg. And like, Miaseg, you a seg, we a seg, everybody seg, you know?
I mean, does that help it? Well, I mean, unless Thomas is a member of the Screen Actors Guild of America and...
Right, sure.
Is, you know, maybe this is a late vote.
Yes.
It could be a complaint about how Barbie wasn't, you know, didn't have enough nominations in the recent Oscars. I know, in which case that is a fair point, Thomas. And you know, I think it is worthy of discussing in any podcast going on at the moment. But I think it's more likely it's a fish than a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes, a fish who's got saggy spots and needs a cure, and there isn't one, unfortunately.
No, sometimes there isn't a cure. I think, you know. So, That can be very frustrating. It can be very frustrating when you've just got to let it, you know, you will get better. You will get better, Thomas. Mm. But sometimes, yeah, you get these little things and you just want to be given a cure straight on the spot. Pardon the pun. I'm so sorry, Thomas. That's very insensitive. Wow.
Yeah, that is quite rude. Yeah. Yeah.
And and you find yourself... you know, just lying there going, I wish I didn't have MESAG anymore. Yeah. And you've just got to be patient. It'll go, but
it's got to say it is what it is. I guess
you got to say it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's often, you know, you're lying there, you know, day three, you're like, what is this? And you've just got to, you know, just chill out. It is what it is.
It's what it is. Wow. Well, I have to say thank you for you've answered the question, but I feel like it's very bad news for Thomas.
Look, Thomas, I'm sorry. If it helps, Thomas, I've got a bunch of rocks which will make you feel a bit less alone for the period that you're ill. I can't guarantee that the rocks will stay rocks. You know, before you get better.
Also got no idea where Thomas is in the world. You'll have to just sort of keep sending rocks out and hope they get to him, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can do that for you, Thomas. I'll just go and put a few rocks in the mail and write That's Thomas, nice. And we'll see if any of them get to you, mate.
You're a very kind man, James. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to answer Thomas's question. Thank you for taking time to send him some sad, sad rocks for his incurable illness. That's a nice thing for you to do there.
Well, as we often say, mate, if you can't give a sick person rocks, what can you give them?
That's very true. That's very true. What a beautiful phrase that you and your many cousins have. Well, thank you, James. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. What are you up to next decade, next couple of centuries? Have you got much on?
Look, well, it's obviously the fish hotel is going to need a bit of maintenance, and there's the rocks, which you know, continue to be a mystery. Mm. I was thinking of going to the Olympics, actually, because you know those are coming up later in the year, and I thought I might just go and see what it is. Because I've always wondered, what is this?
Have you thought about, because obviously when people win an event at the Olympics, they get a medal, but when they lose, they don't get anything. Have you thought about giving them a sad rock?
Look, you found me out, Tiernan. You found me out. This is exactly what I thought. I thought there's so many people competing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And only a few of them get medals and the rest just a little bit sad. What if they had a little rock?
Yeah, that's nice. You know?
So they go and they come back and they can wear the rock on their neck and people will see them and go, oh, that person's sad, but they're probably sad because they lost at the Olympics.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, I can't wait. And I hope that I will be watching the Olympics coverage and I'll see you there handing out sad rocks to all the people who come last.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. It's and maybe you know, we can help them by adding some sinister music to some of the events as well.
This is I think going to be my favorite Olympics ever, and good luck to you. Good luck to you with the sad, sad, sinister Olympics. Thanks so much to James Nkoizi for taking time out of making his sad rocks to answer Thomas's very, very important question. Thomas, I do hope you liked your answer. And if you are well enough after catching the MESIG, which sounds awful, and you aren't happy with your answer, then please send any complaints you have on a sad rock and hopefully it'll hatch and I'll never have to see it. If you have a question that you would like to have answered or you want to send in anything else at all, then do get your pickle-faced Joneses, sorry, I mean grown-ups, to help you email me at podcast@comedyclubforkids.co.uk. And if those same grown-ups want to help support this show, they can sign you up to the advert-free Linda edition on Apple Podcasts, Acast Plus or patreon.com/comedyclubforkids. Do also check out comedyclubforkids.co.uk and also have a listen to my other podcast, Bust or Trust, a kids mystery podcast too, if you can. And please enter the competition for the Knobbly Beasts books, because that will be up on April the 17th. Oh, that was a lot of information once again. And the most important thing is, I'm very sad to say, while you were listening to the most importantest bit, my Shelley stopped playing music. My Shelley stopped working. I can't hear anything in there now, not even the sea. Sad, sad Shelley. No, have a listen to this.
Oi! Will you stop poking your ear in my home?
What? Who's that?
Well, it's not Shelley, that's for sure. Couldn't you think of a better name for an hermit crab than Shelley? Gordon Bennett, you're so unoriginal.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I thought your name might be Shelley. Is it Gordon Bennett?
No, it's Michelle.
Isn't that as stereotypical as Shelley?
No, shut up. What would you know anyway? All you do is stick your ear in poor little crabs' homes. I'm just here trying to listen to my eclectic music collection, and then this great whopping wax-filled ear sticks in. Horrible.
Yes, I can imagine that isn't very nice. I'm very sorry, Michelle.
Michelle!
Sorry, Michelle. I didn't know anyone was in.
Of course you didn't. You don't think about that.
Yeah, look, I'm very sorry. By the way, I do have to say, great music taste, apart from that weird jazz track. I didn't really like that. It was all a bit sort of, I don't know, disjointed. It made me feel a bit ill.
Oh, everyone's a critic now, aren't they? Now bog off and get your ear out of my home.
Sorry. Oh, gosh, well, now I feel embarrassed. Really can't be nice having a big ear stick into your home, can it? I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Oh, a tiny human home. Steve Giant told me if you listen in, you can hear the sounds of people farting. Let me try.
What's that? Oh no! What? A giant ear coming through the window? Oh no! Bye!
All I can hear is a human yelling. Rubbish.
You have been listening to Comedy Club for Kids Presents. Radio nonsense,
radio nonsense,
radio nonsense, radio nonsense,
it's the end.